Testing, 1, 2. Testing, testing,
3. Good. Members, I'll just bring you to attention, please. Thank you, members. I'd like to declare the meeting open and welcome you to my first meeting in the chair. We'll start by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. All persons are advised that the meeting is being recorded and that audio will be made available on the City of Marion website. Members, any declarations of interest? Councillor Appleby?
Yes, the petition for the phone tower and also the motion due to my position on the DAP.
Thank you. Any others? Councillor Crossland? Sorry, I can't hear you, Councillor Crossland.
The complaint issue that will be coming up?
Yes, thank you.
DAP with me as well.
Thank you, Councillor Carey.
Councillor Westwood.
Councillor Westwood, do you have a conflict to declare? Yeah, you do. That's a hint. The DAP, there's an issue with the DAP, so it's just a reminder that DAP members might like to step out if they feel there's a conflict. Thank you. Okay, that all, members? Moving on to item 5, confirmation of the minutes, held to the 26th of May. I have a mover, Councillor Telfer. Seconder, Councillor Byram. Any debate? Councillor Hull.
You ask a question. In view of the email that I saw from Mayor Hannah, were those concerns picked up with these minutes?
Yes, they were, Councillor Hull. They've been removed from the revised minutes that I have in front of me. It is, yes. Thank you. All right. Anything else? All right. All those in favour, members? Declare that carried unanimously. Okay. Item 6, Youth Advisory Committee. We don't have an update this meeting. Deputations, there are none. And we'll move on to petitions, item 8. Now, members, I'm going to move the agenda items around a little bit for you. We're dealing with the Kellett Reserve phone tower at item 8 in the petition. So I'm going to bring forward that motion from page 225 to deal with that item as one. And then we will be moving on to the Edwardstown Senior Citizens Hall, as we have a number of members in the gallery here to hear that this evening. So, members, I'll move to the petition on page 21. Councillor Versky?
Yeah, I'm happy to move the motion for the petition as is.
Okay, I'll just get a seconder and then we'll move on. Seconder, Councillor Gard? Thank you. Councillor Versky?
The residents will be given the opportunity to go to a session that's been coordinated through the club on the 15th of June. There they'll get an idea of what the concerns are. Also they get a bit of background as to why this decision was taken to proceed in this way, to have that feedback opportunity for residents. And hopefully we can get a bit more information about some of the concerns and information that may be able to give them an idea as to what the dangers or otherwise are of having such a facility on that reserve, as well as obviously the opportunities that that facility brings based on the presentation we had a few weeks back from the club. So yeah, I put the motion as is, and I'll move the other motion separately just because it's not really anything to do with this.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Gard, did you have anything else to add? Okay. Any other debate? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Acting Mayor, I have to speak against this motion. I raised concerns when it was dealt with last time, when it was proposed to move it to this location. I went along with it on the basis that we would take on board community consultation. Now, it's become fairly apparent that there's a section of the community that don't want the phone tower there. That should not surprise us. Nobody wants phone towers near their homes. There's something that I've been fighting against for years on this council, even actually taking my own council to court on one occasion to try and stop that phone tower. I think we're actually running the risk of losing corporate integrity. Reputation damage, Mr. Deputy Mayor, in regards to our statutory obligations to represent the community with phone towers. I think we're going into dangerous territory. And my view is that we cut this loose. We leave it for the telco and the community and the federal government, who actually prescribes the legislation for phone towers, to sort it out. We should not be getting into bed with the devil and taking the dollar, being bought off, if you like, Mr. Deputy Mayor, just so a phone tower can go up that people don't want. I'm not surprised. In fact, I probably regret not being stronger when it first came up. But anyway, due process has taken place and it's become apparent that they don't want the tower. Now, just to temper this, I'm now committing myself, just as one councillor, to actually, in the short term or long term, providing amenity to the club at that oval, without having the phone tower as part of the equation. So I'm just urging you in closing, just urging the councillors to think about the consequences of this. If you are proposing to oppose a phone tower in Glandorf, there might be one there that's been proposed, or if you think that you might have a phone tower suddenly be proposed in your patch, just think about what the consequences of this is, because if we go along with this, those telcos are going to say, well, look what that council did down at Morphettville. They took the money and ran, and they really weren't concerned about the issues with the community nearby. Now, there's real danger here. Real danger in terms of us losing our corporate integrity, our reputation in terms of being, a statutory authority and representing the community appropriately. We should not be taking this money knowing that there is a community out there that don't want it. The club did not actually tell us that everybody was happy with this. They actually told us the opposite.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Members, any other debate? This is the petition only at this point, just a reminder. Councillor Vosky, what's your...
For the close, I think that if only everyone that had proposed a tower had done what we'd done. As people are aware, the end of last year, the owner of the car yard on Morphett Road put through a application for a phone tower with Telstra. It was knocked back by the DAP. Now, at no point did they, that I'm aware of, choose to consult with the community about its location and about their concerns. And I was approached by the community on that. So I think that, that we actually went out to the community. We were approached for this site, and we've gone out there and said, look, this is what's been proposed. This is what it would look like. What are your concerns? What do you think? And we're actually meeting with people, and staff are trying to get information out there and try to, to address some of the concerns people have about these facilities, but also letting people know the reality of the federal legislation. So I think regardless of what decision we make about the tower, The process that we're taking, what this is first of all, we're accepting the petition, so we're supporting our community in putting forth their views, and we're also doing something above and beyond what is done in pretty much every other tower. And I think the community's, you know, looking at, okay, you know, we aren't happy with the location of towers, but I think some of these people are obviously do recognise that there is a need at some point. So it's really, you know, I've had people contact me about this and say, well, look, why couldn't they put it here or why couldn't they put it there? So, you know, they are looking at it holistically, and we'll be, you know, they'll have that session on Monday to have those discussions, and we'll get that information on the 14th when we make our final decision. So I don't think of this as supporting the towers members, thinking of this as supporting this process which we have already begun, and supporting the members in putting of our community to put a petition for, and also supporting them being able to have their say, which is a lot more than most people in this situation would get.
What, Councillor Hull, this better be quick. We've finished debating, so yeah. It better be a question on procedure.
It's just the order of business, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yes.
I'm sure you said that you brought forward this item.
Yes.
Which is actually Councillor Lesky's motion that you brought forward, because the petition was actually as part of the agenda as it was written.
Yes, so, that's correct.
So we are really talking about both items, aren't we?
Not at this point. Petition first.
Anyway,
that's all right. We're all on the same page. Thanks, yeah. Councillor. All those in favour, members of the petition? All those against? One. Carried. page 225, members, is the motion that Councillor Vescu has brought forward. Councillor Vescu.
Basically, on the due to the I guess uneven power afforded to telecommunication companies through the Telecommunications Act in regards to mobile phone towers, it is quite likely that our decision on the 14th of July will not be about having a tower or not. It could be about choosing the location of a tower, be it the site that we propose or the site that is currently under appeal in the ERD court with Telstra, the site being on 142 Morford Road. So because the landowner of that second site hasn't had the same consultation, I guess I'd like us to go out to the broader community affected by potential both of these proposals and to get an idea as to what they feel is appropriate if they were to choose from the two, and get the feedback from them, because we will be making a decision which could, as I said, choose the location of the tower as opposed to not having a tower or not. Now, I agree with Councillor Hull, it'd be great if the legislation did allow us to not have towers in places where the DAP basically says they're not suitable. As is the case in 142 and on Morford Road, and it could be the case in Kellett Reserve as well, we don't know. So, but we're not in that situation. I spoke to a former councillor who was supporting someone on the substation in Seacombe Gardens, and they went to the ERD court, and the telco gave them an inch full of paperwork with technicality saying, well, this is why we should have it here. Now, he had neither the expertise or the time to read it, work it out, and also see if it was actually justified. So I think as far as telecommunication towers and the power given to them in the federal government legislation, unfortunately, the community is out of a barrel, over a barrel. So I'd like a broader consultation on that. A lot of the issues that will come through won't be development issues in the consultation that we're having on the Monday. There'll be other concerns, and they're the very concerns that wouldn't have been tackled during the development-only process that happened for the first application on 142 Morford Road. So I guess for us to make the best decision to take into account the impact this will have on the broad community, I'd like us to look at some further consultation in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for the motion before we continue? Councillor Pryor, you wish to speak? Anyone against the motion? Councillor Hull. Can you have your mic on, please?
CEO.
There is no acting CEO as far as I'm concerned.
Who's heading up the administration?
This evening, are you talking about?
Yes. Like, the council meeting should have somebody who is the senior office holder.
Councillor Hull, before you continue, we knew this position very clearly when we had appointed our acting CEO about particular Tuesday evening, so I'm not sure where you're going with this.
I want to ask an administrative question, and I want to know who to direct it.
You can direct it through me, and I'll allocate it to one of the directors.
That'll do. In terms of what I said previously about council getting involved in this, in terms of reputation and upholding our integrity and our unbiased approach to phone powers, how is it perceived, given the current motion, where it might take this council in terms of our relationship with telcos and potential application in the future?
You're going to get a joint response from the staff?
We're going to say it together, are we?
Well, we all want to be singing from the same hymn sheet, Councillor, so...
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. Certainly Council's role in terms of this motion and in terms of the investigations with Kellett Reserve is one of representation. It is one of representation in terms of the community that Councillor Valescu referred to with the first development application, and also in terms of the community surrounding Kellett Reserve. Certainly Council's decision making on that basis will be on balance based on the feedback that is coming through from the community as to the location of the telecommunications tower. Councillor Valescu was absolutely correct in raising the matter that the decision of the location of a telecommunications tower on land also rests with the Development Assessment Panel, and as to whether or not that telecommunications tower can be placed in position where the telco is seeking it to be placed. But when it's being placed on private land, of course, there is also the decision-making of the landowner in terms of the placement of that particular tower as well. And that's where Council's representation role comes into it, to take on balance the views of the community in terms of the location of the tower and to make that decision on the balance of that information presented.
And the actual taking of money is from the telco. That's the critical point.
With respect to the taking of monies from the telco, that where there is any utilisation of council's land for commercial reasons, the provisions of the Local Government Act actually do allow council to seek appropriate commercial terms and conditions in relation to the use of that land. Certainly, council is exploring what would be the appropriate commercial arrangements to have with the telco with respect to the location of that tower. That decision in terms of the commercial information does also need to be balanced with the representation views of the surrounding community. So it's not a decision only about the commercial position that council would be in with the telco. It is also about the representation and the feedback from the community. So there is a dual consideration of the council on this matter.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to speak against the motion now, and I'm not sure why the clock is showing that I've used up 40% of my time by asking a question.
Well, I'm sure we can get that reset for you. And you might want to start your mic again.
Yep, it's on. Mr. Mayor, I think we're in a real quandary here. The people on Morford Road, Glengowrie, arced up and had petitions. We reacted to that. Council DAP quite rightly refused it, and that's still in the appeal process. Then somebody got the idea, oh, we'll move it over to Kellett Reserve. Now, it seems to me that the people at Kellett Reserve are going to lose out because the council's prepared to take money from the telco, where there was no money on offer at Glengowrie or Morford Road. So it seems to me that there's an injustice there, and really it's not really a place that the council should be. We should not be in a situation like this where we're taking the money and forsaking the people in that area. And
councillor, I just want to just stop you for a second and just say that, you know, the line of debate you're going on is about, not about the facts, really. It's not about council's decision to take money. I just wanted to remind you of that, because you're implying that council has made a decision to take money when it hasn't been about that at all. So I just wanted to...
There's no money on offer, is that what you're saying?
No, there is money.
There's a shitload of money on offer. Let's face it, and that's
councillor.
That's what's influencing the decision of the council.
Councillor, I think you need to choose your words very carefully. I think you just need to be very careful about that, because that's not actually the decision council has made. The debate so far has been around location and visual impact.
Is there some technical reason why you pulled me up, or a point of order?
Yeah, there is, because you're implying that council has made a decision purely based on a commercial arrangement.
That sounds like the vibe. It wasn't very convincing.
Continue.
I'll keep saying again, there's a pot of money involved, and it worries me that that's what's influencing the decision of the council. And really, that pot of money ultimately should be generated by us, and we should be able to provide the amenity to that sporting club, not for 1 minute, by trying to lift their expectations and drop them and leave them totally deserted with what they want to achieve down there. But at the same time, I'm really hell-bent on the principle that we should not be engaging with this telco in this fashion. It's bothered me all the way along, and it's time to put the brakes on it and withdraw, cut this loose, allow the telco and the community to sort out their affairs. We can oppose both of these sites and let the telco make the decision. We shouldn't be prescribing. Councillor Belescu said a number of times we may have to pick the site. That's not council's role. That's not our role to actually say you can have it there but you can't have it over there. And this group of people can go and he, and this one
Councillor Hull's really misrepresenting what I was trying to say. I think it's a very grey area. So
thank you, Bruce. Councillor Hull, please just debate the issue, not the people.
Well, hang on. I'm referring to what the councillor said during his speech. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not, but just...
Because he actually said it a number of times, that we may have to make a decision. Now, this is the first time I've ever known this council to be in this position over a bleeding phone tower. And we should not be in this position. That's the point that I'm making. And we should not be accused by the community of taking money and forsaking them.
We should not agree with you, councillor, but, you know, just remember, look, you know... My first night in the chair, I'm just asking you to go a bit easy. You know, I understand where you're all coming from. Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm not debating having a debate with you, councillor. Councillor Gard?
I do understand where Councillor Hull is coming from as far as where he is coming from. However, I don't feel that his comments are appropriate in this situation. I really do feel, Councillor Hull, through the chair, that this is a matter of us in a sense being an arbitrator for our community, the ratepayers. I think the ratepayers are interested in having a voice, and I can't think of a better voice that they could have than through a strong council, a very strong council such as this. I think anyone can imply anything about anything and derive anything from anything if they so desire. If people of our community choose to see the council as acting anything but above board on an issue as vital as this to the comfort of the community, then that is a sadness for them. And to coin an old phrase, it's their problem, not ours. Our problem is to make sure that we deliver service and consideration to our community as per our charter, and I have nothing more to say about it than that. It's a generalisation, and it stands to a lot of other things that may well come up tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Guard. So I take that as a four. Anyone against? No more against? Okay, I'm going to put the motion. Members, all those in favour? I declare that, those against, declare that carried. Division. Councillor Hull has called a division. I'll ask all those councillors in favour to please stand. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in favour. Just remain standing for a moment while those are recorded. Okay, you may be seated. Those against, please stand. Count 1, you may be seated. Members, I'll just remind you that when we're debating, please, if you believe something, please state that it's your perception, your belief, and not a matter of fact. It's just so important that, you know, things can be misconstrued by saying this is fact, but it might be your belief, and in your world it might be true, it might be fact, but we just need to debate on those core principles, please. All right, we'll just get the remaining members to return, and then we'll be turning to page 204, the Edwardstown Senior Citizens Hall. Okay, so we're on page 204, members. Councillor Pfeiffer, you wish to move? Very enthusiastically, I'll get a seconder because I think that's a proper protocol in my mind. Councillor Carey has seconded. Okay, you can go for it now.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I would like to, before I actually start speaking to the item, I'd like to take up Councillor Westwood's suggested motion adjustments, which he put through an email to Ms. McKenzie and a few others this afternoon, if that's at all possible. And while that's coming up, those suggestions from Councillor Westwood are just a couple of subtle adjustments to the actual wording. I don't think it really changes the substance of the motion too much. If I can speak to it now, look, it's been 7 months since the expression of interest closed on this particular site, and I'm very, very, very excited to be at this point. This particular facility, it has been leased in the past. The former lessee moved out in January. It's been sitting there for quite a while now. The City of Marion Band, at the same time and for a long time, has been looking for a home. Now, when you're trying to house a band, and a brass band, they have very specific criteria. One of those things is around the acoustics of a room. It's really, really hard to get a place that has the right acoustics. This is one of those few sites that actually ticks the box. They are these guys are very, very enthusiastic. Councillor Westwood and I are both the joint liaison for the City of Marion Band. It is one of the best and most celebrated bands going around the place, and of course they were very, very successful at the National Championships this year. they're everywhere. You know, Anzac Days, citizenships, you name it. You know, I believe they're available for hire as well, weddings, bar mitzvahs, you name it kind of thing. Look, where they're looking at going at the moment, it's next door to the Rotary Bookshop. Now, the Rotary Bookshop, getting the Rotary Bookshop in where they are now was a contentious thing at the time going around council. It was a contentious thing. However, these guys have done an amazing job with this site. It is fantastic what the Rotary Club have done with this site. They've really turned an area that had chronic social isolation into something really vibrant. Everyone in the area talks about it. And I think having these guys next door, the City of Marion Band next door, will really leverage off that, and it will further create the vibrancy in that little corner of Edwardstown, which has desperately been needed. Look, it's worth noting also that these guys have never actually had a home. They've never had a home. The City of Marion Band, Your Worship, have never had a home. This is the first time in decades that we can actually give them a place of their own and, you know, get them into a place of their own, and they can work off of this. it's not just a band that gets together and plays a bit of music. They also have an education program as well. They need spaces where they can educate people. You know, their Heaven Brass Band is the band for people who are just learning, and they do a wonderful job of it. It's an education thing. It's not just about them playing. Look, it is worth noting as well that, and the report does note this, the need to consider asset disposals. We do need to run the asset disposal lens over every facility, not just this one.
Councillor Pfeiffer, your time has actually lapsed.
Oh, are you serious?
The clock hasn't been activated.
Can I have 20 seconds?
20 seconds to finish
up. Look, I think with the asset disposal lens, we do have to run it over everything. But I think we actually need a strategy. We need some criteria. We need a policy to be able to run across the entire council area before we start chipping away at these sort of things. I don't want it to be done in an ad hoc manner. Let's get these guys in, get them operating, and then move from there later down the track.
Okay, Councillor Carey, do you wish to make any further comments? No further comments. Anyone against? Against. Councillor Gard.
I'd actually like to move that the motion be deferred. First things first, I think the band is a fabulous band, and I think all councils need a good band as
such.
Point
of order.
It's a deferment motion. There's no debate on a deferment motion.
No debate on it, so you need to move a procedural motion. It needs to clarify why, Councillor, why we're deferring it, because we could do that on every motion if we wanted to. Continue.
I'll be brief. I'll be brief. The exercise here is a valiant one, and I think it is of concern that we find good housing for a now larger band, a very good larger band. However, there do seem to be a lot of wheels within wheels as far as all important things such as asset value deployment is concerned. Now, whether we go to the grander project of looking at all of our assets before we look at this one is another thing, but I do feel that it's a case of more information as to what the opportunity cost is if we go this way for the band. It seems on surface a good, valid, clean way of using a facility for a very worthy cause, but there is a considerable value to that facility. So from that point of view, I would like to, from my personal point of view, and I know from a few other councillors, there is a need for more information.
Thank you, Councillor. I think that's a legitimate concern, that there's actually a point of order where if you don't feel you have sufficient information, and I see that's where you're coming from there. And I take that on the disposal side of the asset. I see what you're meaning there. The term of the lease wouldn't assist you, or flexibility within our lease arrangement to engage in sale of assets as needed and shuffling, wouldn't appease you at all?
Not really, because
we're not
deriving a lot of income, obviously $550 a year, and there is also the concern of just in principle, are we doing the right thing here
I just wanted to check that with you to give you that opportunity. Do I have a seconder for deferment? Councillor Crossland, you wish to speak?
Yeah, there's quite a few concerns here that I've looked through. Number one, we've actually got an empty building, and we have talked about over the last 6 months asset disposal. This has never come up on the list. The gift, as it were, for when you've got the option of closing an asset is when it's not being used by the community. In fact, the huge risk, which has been talked about around this table a number of times, is having a community hall which is fully used by the community, and they will start using it, just like Alec Cove Library, if we decide to keep that as a second building. And then when you do want to sell it, there'll be a public outcry. Now, I see on here you've got a three-year lease, because there is an expectation that could be a site that comes up. I also know on here that the intention of the Marion Band is, because they only have limited need for that building, is actually make it available and build up more community use. They're going to sublet it, so ultimately that building is going to get more and more use. I also note that the building at the moment is not fit for purpose. I'm not quite sure how we can enter into a commercial lease with a verbal agreement that we promise not to ask for an upgrade. I don't know if someone could advise me on that. Can we have a verbal agreement in a lease?
Have any staff here available for that?
Because my understanding
is Dixon is making her way forward.
That would be either unlawful or you can't hold someone to use a building and not
legitimate question.
Yes, landlord's responsibility.
We'll get the official answer.
We're not seeking a verbal agreement with the lease. The report brings the attention, like Council's attention, to the DDA considerations in there. It would be if there were major works done to the building, that could trigger the DDA works for the toilets. So it's not a given, but there is a risk with that. So that was brought to Council's attention.
So how do we prevent that risk becoming a reality and another issue that we all have to deal with again?
So through the chair, through the discussions with the band, the works that they're wanting to do is of a minor nature through putting some stud wall in the actual hall. So they haven't indicated that they are wanting to do major work. The major works would need to have landlord approval as well, so if they were wanting to do major overhaul, that could trigger it. So there is consideration for council in there and weighing that up. But there is also the risk in that if you have someone in there and you do not have toilets that are DDA compliant, that there may be a requirement to upgrade it. So it is a risk. The other in mitigating against that risk in the report, the reason for the bringing it to March 2018 is currently with the Rotary Club using that facility. They take up about 70 to 75% of the facility. So in terms of council's consideration with your asset management approach, that's why we've set the lease for that shorter period to allow council to 12 months out, start preparing for how you would want to deal with that asset when it becomes fully available.
Sorry, through the chair, are those assets on separate titles?
Through the chair, the same title.
So it would have to be sold as a job lot. And what strategies...
Councillor, this is your last question, you only get three.
Well, perhaps because I've got a list of questions, perhaps that just really reinforces the deferral motion. Thank you.
So, members, just to clarify, Councillor Gard, you've moved an adjournment to a particular date or leaving the matter lying on the table? Which one have you chosen to move? I'm not clear.
I think we could probably come to grips with it within the next month. So, could we say... first meeting in July.
Okay, so the motion is an adjournment to the first meeting in July. Is everyone clear on that? Okay, so there's no debate with this, unfortunately. So you get to vote on the procedural motion that's been put.
People ask questions because we had people ask questions.
Okay, what's your question, Councillor?
My question is, do we know who actually built this facility that we're looking to give to the band? Who built it?
If it's available at this time.
Through the chair, if I'm lip reading correctly, it was Rotary.
They built it for us.
And Rotary are leasing 75% of this site until 2018. Was there another question over this side? No? No. Councillor, go on.
Are we clarifying that Rotary built the hall that the band want to use, and they're not leasing that, though they're leasing the kindergarten?
And well, what was the old kindergarten, which is on the same allotment, yes. Okay, any other questions before I put this to a vote for an adjournment? Okay, members, all those in favour of an adjournment? I count 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. All those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, the debate will continue.
Can I just raise a point of order? I thought that if a member didn't have sufficient information before you, then it had to be adjourned. It couldn't be dealt with. It's not just that we vote on it.
Well, Councillor, the majority of members feel that they have enough information based on their questions that they've asked today. So we must continue. There needs to be a vote, Councillor, and the vote didn't seem to get up. So we continue. For or against, who have I got? Councillor Hull.
I'm for this. It's interesting that Councillor Pfeiffer has significant struggles with this site over extended periods of time. For community groups that are the soul of the bloody earth, that really want to achieve something in the community, and every time they're put through the ringer, and they have to sit back there and watch the spectacle of us making gooses of ourselves. That's what really annoys me. And in the meantime, these people float around the community like lost souls, trying to find somewhere to do their thing. All because we want to have a bit more time. You know, like, I really don't get it. You know, we've got a... I'm not into bands. I'm tone deaf or something, I think. I don't know what it is, but... you know, but you can see that, and I've been here long enough to see how they've evolved. You know, like they've come so far, and now we've got our kids getting involved and hooking into it and progressing themselves through that genre, being music, and it's a great thing. So why don't we actually provide them somewhere for a base now? Fortunately, this is actually a open item. It's not confidential. Talking about leases, sure, some people will catch on what I'm talking about, but it's fantastic we can deal with this in the open. Because there are monetary figures in here. It's all there as to how much they're paying. There are maybe some costs with a building that is there anyway. And I think the figure that I can see here that is of significance is the DDA compliant toilets and that amenity. So we can actually do that and make it a serviceable building and have somewhere for these people to base themselves. It wasn't that long ago they were here pointing out that they were homeless, really. Floating around the streets with their instruments. So, you know, why can't we give them somewhere to base themselves and get on with this? Last time, it was at the Lions Club that were put through the hoop. I don't want to see this happen again. I just want to see a little hub that Councillor Tim is actually creating over there, and it seems as if it's actually becoming an enriched precinct with activity there by, you know, really rock-solid community groups, and I'm happy to support it.
So anyone against? A question, Councillor?
We're voting to enter into negotiations. We will still then be asked to decide on the lease, or we'll just basically do the lease and that's it. It's happening.
Through the Chair, so the resolution seeking Council's authorisation for us to enter into negotiations and execute a lease that would end in March 2018.
Information to councillors, giving them the opportunity just to get some of the information that they seek to get if there were any particular concerns, or this is the opportunity here.
Might be useful, what further information would you envisage being brought back to council?
generally, I think people have some questions.
Well, no, well, I think that's either for offline councillor or it's the motion is amended by the mover. That's the only two options. We're not going to go into what questions and all that. We're going to run a tight ship tonight, guys, from now on in. All right?
No more. I'm happy with that. Okay. People can do it offline. I guess I'd like to support it. I think that there has been a lot going on in that community. Rotary did build that. They are looking to build our community and revitalise some of these places. Now, I can understand where some of the councillors to my left and a little to my right may be coming from. And I think that there are some areas within the council, some facilities that perhaps we do need to raise the question mark. But knowing the history of these, of this group and this site, I don't believe that this is one of those at this point. And I think that we will take advantage to use that space. That space hasn't been used for a while. And I think it's good that we are actually getting a group to use it and a group that's willing to cooperate with another group that's close by. So, but as I said, there are other places within that general vicinity which we may have facilities that, we may wish to look at and to reconsider their future. But I don't believe this is one of them.
Okay, I've got a speaking list. I believe it's Guard, and then Westwood, then Appleby. Anyone else want to put their hand up?
Very briefly again, I am happy to go with the flow if the majority of councillors feel that there is enough information. I'll yield to that. Again, I take exception to Councillor Hull's expressions. If he would care to publicise that he thinks that we are making gooses of ourselves, being concerned about a serious asset owned by the ratepayers of this council, then I think he should go ahead and do it. But I do object to that sort of language, and I think he can do a lot better.
I think we've all heard that loud and clear tonight from a number of people, so we could all just take stock, members, from here on in. Thank you. Councillor Westwood.
Right, well, firstly, the band obviously needs this facility or a facility urgently. Where they are now is quite inadequate, and where they propose to be, which is this hall, seems to me to be quite a suitable place. I've actually inspected it with the representatives of the band, and I've found it quite acceptable. It looks like a good facility for them. The other thing is that they provide a very worthwhile social value. They do the music scene, as you've been told, a lot of young people are really getting a lot of benefit out of the organisation. So I support this motion, of course, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Yes, so Councillor Appleby, I assume you're against?
Yes, I'm going to move an amendment. A second point that the current market value of the rent be deducted from the existing funding.
Is everyone clear on what that means? So, Councillor Appleby, can you explain that in more detail?
Well, there's $30,000 funding. Basically, the value of the rent of that will be deducted from the existing funding.
So their rent is deducted from the funding that Council provides them on an annual basis?
The market value of the rent.
Market value deducted. Okay, is everyone clear on what the amendment?
I'd like to ask exactly what is the market value of the rent, because this is not the normal situation that we actually impose on our users. I think we need an answer to this, because we could actually find that they'll have no money at all.
Thank you, Councillor. Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, I think if Council wanted to move that amendment, you may also want a report to come back to Council with further information. There's a few factors to be considered in that in terms of the agreement. So Council have a five-year agreement that I think is into the third year currently. In the third year. So we need to consider what that means in terms of the agreement and changing that agreement, and also the full market rental as well. I think we need to bring that analysis to council as well.
So Deputy Mayor, that would have to be $500 a week for a building that size. Like,
Councillor, we're not debating what we think the amounts might be. We're not going to go down that path. So we have an amendment up on screen, and do I have a seconder? Councillor Crossland, you wish? Okay, yep, we're just checking procedures because we've done a few things with this motion so far. Members, I'll remind you it's also 10 to 8. Councillor Crossland, you've seconded. Now, Councillor Apple is going to speak.
Basically, for the new members last term, the band already had an increase in funding. I think it was from about $10,000 to $20,000, so it's already had an increase in funding, and I think that to give them a free home as well, or a heavily discounted one, is basically double dipping, and I think there has to be a limit as to how much ratepayers are on the hook for.
Councillor Crossland, you wish to say anything in seconding the amendment?
No, that sounds...
Order. I just want to clarify. I don't want to...
Point of order, Councillor...
Yeah, I don't know, Kim, because as movers and seconders of the deferment motion, does that preclude one from speaking?
I'll seek advice on that.
Yeah, that's... Well, I'm sure other people will be able to speak.
Through the Chair, as it was a procedural motion for an adjournment and it was lost, it can be allowed.
So no censure motions. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I was quite surprised to learn that not only were we giving them double increase in subsidy, but now a free home. So if the amendment is not suitable or the market rent, maybe we could just make it, they could have the free home and no subsidy instead.
Okay, sorry members, we only have limited people that are able to speak to the amendment, so Councillor Telfer is next.
I speak against the amendment. I support the City of Marion band, which is listed in your agenda on page 80 as having an ongoing amount of $15,710 a year. Plus, they would be also be supported by the rent that we are going to charge, which I agree is not a commercial rent. However, week in, week out, Marion Band come to our events, and we do not, at that point, expect to pay to them commercial amounts. We do support, out of the $15,000, things like timpanis that cost $15,000. It is not cheap to run a band. We have voluntary people, voluntary conductors, voluntary trainers, voluntary teachers. What do we want of our community if we don't want to support things that are worthwhile? I speak against this amendment.
Members, like I said, I'm going to run this tight. Who's for the amendment? Councillor? No, she spoke against. So you for, Councillor Byram? Yes. I need to keep this meeting tighter.
For the amendment. And in actual fact, it is $31,000 in grant they received for the year 14-15. The $15,000 was in regard to the rent, I believe, that would be charged. I do agree that the band needs somewhere to look to go. What I am feeling, we are being rushed through this tonight, when we do feel, a lot of us, that we need a bit more information. It is not, we're not disputing that the band doesn't need somewhere to go. We're disputing what is happening exactly with this building. It has been vacant for a long time. What hidden costs are there for us? in what may be needed to be done for that building to be habitable. I am a bit worried that we're opening the checkbook here tonight without fully questioning or looking at what the financial implications are for us. So I am wanting more answers in the costings, so that's why I do support this amendment.
Okay, I have a question from Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. What's the current market value of the rent?
I'll turn to Ms Dixon.
We don't have that information to provide tonight.
So there's the irony right there, is that those who wanted more information have put us into a position where we do not have the information.
Okay members. This is going to be a long night at the office, I can tell you that, because we've got our biggest item coming up next, and we need Councillor Hull.
In terms of all the other buildings we've got in Marion, how many of them do we charge full market rent for?
I'll hand you over to Ms Dixon.
It's in the minority, but we don't have the exact number tonight. I can take that on notice.
So there wouldn't be many?
No.
Right.
So we certainly know our kindergartens are leased to the state government, so there's one you might like to think of.
That's not a good example.
No, I'm just that's providing some additional information from...
less than adequate return.
Councillor Crossland, what do you have? A question?
Question?
Yep.
Related to what Councillor Hall said, so how many people do we give cheap or no rent and then subsidise the same group?
I'd need to take that on notice.
We don't have time for a notice. The decision's been made to try and make a decision today.
Okay, Councillor Westwood, what do you have for me? A question
right.
Or...?
Well, can I just make a comment?
You've already spoken.
Not on the amendment.
You can't speak. Oh, okay. Councillor Pryor is the only one that has speaking rights left in the chamber. Okay, members, on that note, I'm going to start taking control of this. We're going to move the amendment. All those in favour of the amendment, as written, I count 1, 2, 3. Thank you. All those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, the amendment was defeated. We return to the original motion, members, and I'm going to put the motion because we are out of time given the amount of items we need to get through. Members, all those in favour of the original motion? And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Thank you. All those against? 1, 2, 3. Declare that carried, members. Moving on to page 39, the annual business plan and budget. Quite a lengthy item, members. In addressing the motion, I would recommend that we deal with this in sections. Happy to take whatever comes off the floor in terms of my recommendation to divide this. Councillor Valescu.
The first motion as is.
So that's item one you're wishing to move as printed?
Yes.
Just item one, okay. Anyone wishing to second item one as printed? Councillor Pryor. Councillor Valescu, you wish to speak?
I guess we've been able to cut a substantial amount out of the budget for this year. We've also, through the work of people throughout this horseshoe, have put the brakes on the spending for the next 10 years. We've been able to do that with the minimal impact on services, but also keeping in mind that there are things that we do want to achieve to improve some of the services we provide in the community, some of the facilities we provide in the community. I'm also of the view that there are further savings to be made, and that's some of the work that we'll be doing for the next financial year to look at further savings that will both provide, and we'd split that how we do it, I guess we argue about that in the next 12 months, but we reduce our running costs and put that back into services for the community, but also reduce what we need to take from our community. We are pegged quite low as far as other councils go for their rate rises, but it is still a rise. And I do, you know, do admit that you know, that it would be good to go lower, but some of the councils that have gone lower have had other advantages that we don't have. Like, for example, City of Adelaide has other revenue streams, not reliant to the same extent as we are. City of Norwood, I believe, are looking at some sort of freeze. They have a smaller base, smaller outgoings than we do. We got, I think, three or four bits of feedback from our consultation process. And as I said, we would be the lowest in the area. And if we keep to low amounts, as we said, we're looking at 2.75 at this stage over the next 10 years, we'll be able to peg back some of the cumulative effect over the last few years as far as the rate rises go. So I move that as is.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Pryor, do you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. Just quickly, I'd like to back up Councillor Voscu with his opinions. I think this rate, the rate rise, is a good compromise of what our community was looking for in a not too great a rate rise, and a good compromise in what our administrative costs might be. I think it leaves it open in the future for us to go any way we can, preferably lower. I'd just like to note that the Adelaide City Council did put a rate freeze on this year, but they're already scoping a 4.8% rise next year, which probably covers it.
Is that all, Councillor?
That's it, thank you.
Okay. Those against? Anyone against? Councillor Appleby.
Sure. I just wanted to point out that we're not moving closer to the rate of inflation. We're moving further away, just as we have in the past, inflation rate is about half, and previously we've been imposing about 5%, so 2.9% still is moving further away from the inflation rate.
Okay, so that's anyone else for, and it has to be a burning comment that we haven't already heard. Of course, Councillor Hull, it has to be really, really important to this debate.
Well, just one little quick snapshot. I'm just struggling to find it again. It was the Councillor Appleby loves these pie graphs, I think. It actually demonstrates page 65. Very pleasing, actually, Mr. Deputy Mayor, that if you look at page 65, where within a 10-year scope, this is the lowest rate rise in that 10-year period. And it probably predates that as well. We're probably going even further. I'm sure we are, because I was there. I know. This is the lowest rate rise probably in 15 or 20 years. So, you know, Wills Council Appleby might not be as happy as he could be on this. It has to be taken on board that this is a significant year for the council in terms of what Council Appleby's endeavour is, that is to reduce rates.
Members, just to remind you, debating the issue, not the member. Any further against on this item one? Only item one at this point. Okay. All those in favour? Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Those against? I count 1, 2. I declare that carried. Okay. Sorry, members, you might like to group some more items for me now from items 2 onwards, however you like. I'll take Councillor Telfer.
I'll move numbers 2 to 6. That is the draft annual business plan and budget, the draft long-term financial plan, the rating policy and treasury material, the draft fees and charges, and the grants program. And I'll speak to that if I may.
I'll just get a seconder. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Westwood. Okay, you can continue, Councillor.
The reason that I've brought this block forward is that they have been available in draft and available for us to go to the staff and ask questions. We all have an opportunity before the meeting, particularly in the last 3 days before the meeting, to contact staff and to get our questions answered. So I believe that we have had due time, due diligence, and have worked appropriately on these particular figures. And I look forward also to the service review in the next 6 months of a number of items. But over and above that, we move forward with good faith.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone against this block, which is, again, items 1 to 6? No one against, so I'm going to put the motion then. All those in favour? I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those against? 1. I declare that carried. Members, I'll take another motion to deal with items 7 and 8, or individually. I will go Councillor Valescu this time.
Okay. I'm going to do probably in two parts, but ideally I put that for this time around the Resilient South program is included in the budget, and I would like to move part 8, that the surplus be basically put in the same reserve as where we've put the community partnerships funding program, in that same amount. So it's used to support long-term assets, but not done under the criteria of the asset sustainability reserve. But I do foreshadow this, that in our savings, we will, over the next 12 months, we will need to allocate some of those ongoing savings that come up to this reserve, because it is for our assets. And we may find that in 12, 18 months' time that we transfer some of this money into that reserve, but I think at the moment it's probably a timely to have that money to see what opportunities come up from, I guess, the length and breadth of our ward, of our city.
Okay, I probably should have taken a seconder. So just to clarify, Councillor, order members, the motion is to quarantine in the which reserve? Just so staff have
it. EPPPF one, the one where we've...
Community,
where we've allocated the Community Facilities Partnership Program funding.
Okay.
As opposed to the Asset Sustainability Reserve at this point.
Right. Do you wish to comment on that?
Through the Chair. If Council chooses to head down that path, that's not a problem. As you've just endorsed, the CFPP is now embodied within the Asset Sustainability Reserve, but it's uniquely quarantined, so that's not a problem at all.
So could you explain that we've just endorsed? Because it is a separate item. So has that been... Whereabouts has that been endorsed? It's not here in the motion, is it?
Yes, through the Chair. That was part of resolution number 4. So the amendments to the 3 finance policies. There was some amendments to the rating policy, the treasury management policy, and the reserve funds policy.
So does that change the motion that we put up about the asset sustainability, about the CFPF?
Not at all. No, it actually complies with your motion absolutely exactly as you wanted it.
So is everyone clear on that, on the motion, what we're doing? Okay, do I have a seconder for the motion that Councillor Lesko has moved? Councillor Pfeiffer, do you wish to speak? No? Those against? Or
Can we do it one by one, please?
Oh, so you...
7 and 8.
You want to move them individually?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, so... Councillor Pfeiffer, you're happy with that? Okay, so we're gonna do them as separate votes, but moved as by the same councillors. So anyone against either of them, I'll take either. We'll debate at the same time. We'll take the votes separately. Okay. Look, I can see where this is going to get messy. We'll deal with 7 first. Anyone against 7? No. Okay, well, if that's the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour of 7, item 7 as printed on the screen. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many have I got? 11. All those against? 1. I declare that carried. So, item 8, Councillor Valescu and Councillor Pfeiffer have moved already that the... it'd be specifically placed into the CFPP, the surplus. Councillor Telfer, I'll take your amendment now.
That the draft budget funding surplus be used to reduce future borrowings for approved major capital projects.
Okay, so do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Apple, hang on a second. My favourite call is a direct opposite. I'm going to take it as a direct opposite, and you can do whatever you like with that. So what I propose, Councillor, is that we let this motion run, and if you wish to debate against it, we can come back and put your motion, and you can actually, if you'd like, you can speak to it against now and explain where your motion was going. I think that's a fair way forward, and then I'll come to you.
I speak against this motion. We have $25.1 million in borrowings. We have just spent the most we've ever spent on loans because we have done two major parts of work. We have, by our hard work and the hard work of staff, found $3.2 million. To take $3.2 million off $25.1 million of borrowings is quite significant. We obviously then are getting back to about $22 million. Now, borrowings, as you know, actually, if we can pay those off immediately, will save us the interest as well, down the stream, the interest on $3 million. What I don't like about what is up there is that asset sustainability reserve is put against assets, and also you have a subset, community facilities. That then parks money in a subset, which at some stage, yes, we may use for our sports facilities that we as a council are committed to. Our four different headings or topics that we're going to tackle in the next 3 years. But why would we park that money when we could go ahead and use it as suggested, the audit committee suggested that debt or asset sustainability or the other quarantining, reducing the average rate rise are possibles. We would go ahead and clear out that debt, and as the audit committee said, clear your debt down so that when you want to start on your sports field, you're at a low base to build up again. So I will speak again if I get a chance when we lose this motion, when this motion is lost.
Councillor Crossland, you had a question?
No, I don't think I'll ask the question, thank you.
Okay, so that anyone for the motion? Councillor Bolescu, you're going to have a question.
So with this amount, I'm going to explain a little bit. Is there a net, what's the actual net cost to council as far as interest by keeping it in a reserve? Because if I have, for example, a home loan which is for $100,000 and I have $50,000 windfall, and if I put it in my offset account, it means that whilst I don't pay off the loan, I'm effectively only paying interest on half of that. So using that same rationale, keeping in mind that the interest charged by the bank is always going to be a little bit more than what we would get as far as an offset, which is an investment, what would be the net cost as a percentage of us putting this in the reserve?
I get your question, but I think using the term offset is probably not technically correct, but I'll hand you over to Mr. Mifflin.
So through the Chair, just a point of clarification before I answer your question if I can. The funding surplus that we're talking about prior to your resolution for point seven was 4.1 million, so that's actually what we're working back off of. It'll be less than 23,000 now for the Resilient South program, which is minuscule anyway. Obviously, council's accounts aren't structured in a way to accommodate an offset. Yes, you're right. The borrowing rate that we would incur, even though it's very low and probably historically low, is still going to be higher than what we could get if we were investing the funds. In regards to giving you specifics, Councillor, I'd need to take that on notice. But the bottom line is there would be a differential. The bottom line is if you've got money sitting aside in one of those accounting reserves, we would be investing that money and earning interest without question, but it'll be at a lower rate than we would if for what we've got to borrow the funds.
Okay. Councillor Crossland, you have a question, I assume?
I do have a question there. So just correct me if I'm wrong, but when we had a talk before from Ray, he mentioned that these loans are in fixed rate, as in a fixed term. And if we actually do look at, say, paying $4 million off early, there'd be significant penalties just like there is at a bank. Is that still correct, or have we got a variable rate loan now?
Through the Chair, what we're specifically talking about here is there are actually loans that haven't been taken out yet. So the approved projects are all the one that's been completed recently, being Oakland's Wetlands in the last 12 to 18 months, Cove Civic Centre. Most of the loan funding has been taken out for that, but potentially there's more that could be taken out within Council's already approved amounts. And at this point in time, we have not loaned 1 cent for the City Services redevelopment. Those funds have to be borrowed. So we're talking about actually not having to take out future loans that are already approved by Council.
Councillor Gard?
It's a question in the same vein. I remember sitting in on an audit committee meeting two back, I think it was, where it was discussed that it was a good idea to look at keeping a reduction program going with your net loan, and then, as is so often the case, expanding again as seen fit, but to be servicing the loan down is a tidy and responsible way of dealing with the loan. But my question is, would that be common practice, through the Chair to Director of Finance, would it be common practice across local government to default to reducing loans with surpluses more so than putting them aside into assets, or are we looking at a specific case that's not comparable with other councils?
Through the Chair, one of the things that's been discussed on a number of occasions previously with the Audit Committee is about intergenerational equity and sharing that load. So that's certainly something that Council absolutely needs to consider, where you're talking about major strategic projects, and the ones I've just referred to are major strategic projects, where you do want to spread that responsibility over 10, 15, 20 years, depending on the best outcomes for Council in terms of loans that we can take out. To answer your specific question, it's probably getting the balance right. So it could also be argued that just putting money aside, and this is money from the current community, is also has a negative equity impact, because effectively the people who are going to benefit from that may not be alive in the future when we use those funds.
Councillor Hull.
Just a question. If we go down this track here, do the funds roll over? I knew there was conjecture before about the Community Facilities Partnership money. Is this money going to roll over from one budget to the next if it's not expended?
Through the Chair, I have mentioned that and tried to provide clarity previously. Absolutely. The money, the funds in any of these accounting reserves, whether it be the Asset Sustainability Reserve, which encompasses this one, or the Open Space Reserve, cannot be used without a Council resolution. And by default, it will automatically roll over until such time in the future that Council resolves to use some or all of it.
To speak to the motion, that being the case, whether it's Councillor Telfer's approach or this approach, it is a kitty of money that we make a decision. So if it's sitting there and we want to pay off debt, we can do it. It's really up to us. As long as it's there, as long as it's rolled over and it's not absorbed and gone off, you know, into the abyss, I'm happy because it's putting money aside, and that's the important thing. Because you can call it whatever fund you want. At the end of the day, it's a kitty of money that we can deploy as we wish. And the payoff debt to spend on infrastructure or whatever.
Councillor, are you finished? Are you? Yeah. There's just some additional information that Mr. Mifsud would like to add to the debate to assist us.
Thank you, through the Chair. So yes, ultimately, whichever decision Council chooses, you're absolutely right. Those funds can only be used under Council resolution. There's no doubt about that. I just do want to clarify the point that Councillor Crossland has raised in regards to existing loans that are already taken out as of today. There is significant penalties involved if we want to pay those off. So I just want to clarify what we're talking about here is an opportunity for Council to not have to take out as high amount of new loans. That's all we're talking about. So just want to make sure we're absolutely clear about that, as opposed to existing loans, because there are severe financial penalties involved if we wanted to knock those on the head.
Councillor Lasky, you have a question?
Is it possible for when the next set of borrowing comes along that we actually get given some figures? So for example, if we were to borrow, we needed to borrow $5 million, something could come back saying that if you were to borrow 2.5 and fund 2.5, this is what the cost would be. If you were to borrow the full $5 million and keep that 2.5 sitting there, the differential between what you would earn and what you would get would be this much. So that way we can still take into account what Councillor Telfer wants us to do, but also, I think when that comes along, is that something that we can do further down the track?
Yes, through the Chair, absolutely. Not a problem at all.
Would we need a motion for that? Or
No, we'll be doing that as a matter of course anyway, so it's not a problem.
And members, I would take it that you all would pay attention to the financial implications of each report and bear that in mind in your considerations. Councillor Pfeiffer, you have a question?
Just a quick question. Regardless of which way we go here, the net effect, correct me if I'm wrong, is pretty similar, because either we're paying off debt before the actual debt actually hits the book, so we're paying a deposit, effectively, on, say, city services, or we're putting it aside to pay for some other piece of infrastructure. Regardless of which way we go, it increases our capability to take on more debt, correct?
Through the Chair, subject to Council's funding capacity, potentially, yes, because obviously you can't take on more debt if you can't afford to repay the loan, so that's a very important point. But potentially, yes. In terms of not borrowing amounts, whether it's $4 million, $5 million, whatever it may well be, council will definitely be marginally better off by reducing future new borrowings, without question. As to the magnitude, and which is very pertinent to Councillor Valesky's question, we would need to quantify that, but without question you would financially be better off not taking out as much new borrowings as opposed to sticking it in one of these accounting reserves and just earning a small amount of interest on it.
Okay, members, so that's some food for thought with upcoming expenditure. So, members, at that point I'll put the motion. All those in favour? I count 1, 2, 3. Hands up high, please, so I can see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that clear, right? All those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I declare that carried.